Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the high S in desk and teamwork weaknesses, part two. The questions this cast answers are, as a high S, how might I be hurting my relationship with my team? As a high S, what behaviors should I stop doing to improve my relationship with my teammates? And as a high S, what behaviors should I start doing to improve my relationship with my teammates?
Today's podcast is all about the high S. And if statistics have anything to say about it, only about a quarter of the people listening to the podcast will actually be high S's, which means about three quarters of the people listening to me right now are thinking to themselves, well, I know I'm not a high S, but what am I? Well, no worries. We've got the answer to that. You can take an MT Disc profile in 20 minutes for just $30, and you'll know your own profile, as well as how to work with your boss and your directs if they're different styles from you. Not only that, but you'll be able to search on the Manager Tools website for all of the other podcasts we've got that will help people of your profile. So, what are you waiting for? You have only to type MT Disc into your browser, and you'll be well on your way.
Last week, we left you with the challenge of speaking up, and hopefully you've done that in a few meetings in this week that's passed. And this week, we're going to give you three more things to mitigate the weaknesses that you have in teamwork.
That takes us to the next bit. Murder the unchosen alternative. Now, some of you may remember that sentence, that string of words from previous. We've got previous guidance on professional subordination. Murdering the unchosen alternative means that while we can and should make a case for a given course of action or have an opinion or suggest an idea, once a decision has been made, all other previous ideas are considered moot and no action is taken towards them, whether you are a supporter of the path that was taken or a path that was not taken. As part of a larger organization, your professional obligation is to lay any differences aside once a decision has been made and take action on the decision made without regard to any previous options.
And we know as a high S, you are not comfortable with making decisions or having made decisions and moving on. You want to make sure that everybody's ready and warmed up to the idea, and then you make the decision, and then you have some time to think about it and get used to the idea, and then you have a settling in period, and you check how everybody's doing, and you talk about how everybody's feeling, and you iron out any problems, and then, and only then, do you decide that the decision has been made, and you cut off whatever that alternative path was, and you say, never again, and we're going down this path.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And as you're doing all of this, the high D's are silently over here rolling our eyes. Because we stopped listening to that paragraph as soon as Wendy said, we know. And then that's when we started thinking about other things that we need to get done that have nothing to do with all of this other stuff you're talking about. High I's are way too excited about the new idea to even care. The high C's, they're okay as long as the data supports the choice that was made. Decisions upset the status quo. It's their very nature. And decisions have to be made every single day. Frankly, an organization cannot work at the speed of your comfort zone any more than it can work at the speed of the high D's decision-making or the high I's detail or lack of detail consciousness or the high C's risk consciousness. All of us as profiles have strengths and weaknesses, which is, let's face it, the very point of this cast. One of your weaknesses just so happens to be your speed of change. And the only profile that's bothered by change is you. So, frankly, you worrying about how other people feel about the change is unnecessary. Don't worry about them. Work on making yourself comfortable with whatever the change is and embracing it, because the other people are probably already there embracing it. You just haven't joined us. That's all.
There was a podcast I used to listen to that had a tagline, and I'm going to misquote it, but it was something like, change is never going to stop happening. You might as well get used to it.
Yeah. Oh, that's inherently human existence, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
think that's, yeah, that's the whole game. It's all of it. So, yeah.
And if a decision has been made and it's in the team or the organization or the project's best interest, unless you're going to leave the organization, you have to give the goodwill, you know, you have to assume positive intent that it is, then you can wholeheartedly support it. And when you drag your feet after everybody else has got on the boat, you are then making them uncomfortable. And we talked earlier about the things you do or you're doing in order to have a positive outcome that actually end up in a negative outcome. And this is what happens. You achieve the very opposite of what you're trying to do. You are dragging your feet because you want to make sure that everybody's okay. But everybody is okay, and now they're made uncomfortable by the fact that you're not okay.
Yeah, it causes other people to second guess themselves, right? If you're asked multiple times, "Are you sure? Are you sure this is okay? Are you like? I mean, are you certain?" At some point, you start thinking to yourself, "Wait a minute, maybe I'm not certain. Maybe I am now uncomfortable." Now that you say that, because you've said it multiple times, I probably should be uncomfortable and I'm not uncomfortable. And that's weird. Why am I not uncomfortable? Because I obviously should be. This person's clearly uncomfortable. It's this thing, right? Your desire to make people comfortable causes people to become uncomfortable, which, again, no high S ever thought of.
No. I used to work for a very high S organization, which came from the top because the CEO was a high S. And I was walking backwards and forwards down a corridor because I was taking paperwork to be photocopied. And the photocopier was one end and the paperwork was the other. And I was walking backwards and forwards. And all I was thinking about was, I need to photocopy this stack. And then I need to go back and I need to do this and I need to do that. And that's what I was thinking about as I walked back and forward. And she was on the phone leaning against a wall. And one time when I walked back, she'd finished her phone call and she said, "You can smile, you know." And I was like, okay. And then I spent the next three times going backwards and forwards thinking, do I not smile enough? I should smile. Why am I not smiling? And literally, she was worried that I wasn't smiling and having a good time at work because she was a high ass. But she made me feel uncomfortable because I wasn't smiling.
Right. And you were already comfortable.
The exact opposite, again, of what she wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think it's so silly that, unfortunately, often, we engage in behaviors and folks, as a high D, I do it all the time. We engage in behaviors that we mean to play out in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And what we do is actually contrary to what we're trying to achieve. We just don't realize all of the issues with what we do. It seems perfectly natural. It seems perfectly normal. Of course, it will work this way. Mm-hmm. But it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like any of the other profiles don't do that either.
Exactly. So now we're at the bit about addressing conflict. Folks, this is going to be hard to hear, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's going to be conflict at work. The way to resolve conflict is to address conflict. I mean, you've probably heard us say this before. Two human beings in the same county equals conflict. Two human beings on the same continent equals conflict. If you think about it this way, I'm going to give you an analogy for a part of your personal life that will immediately make clear why you should be okay with conflict at work. You're constantly in conflict with your partner or your spouse or a friend about something, and it's okay there. And those are the people we care about the most. Let's face it, our coworkers are great and stuff. But the people we care about most are the people at home, and we have conflict with them all the time. The moment we admit that the expectation is not perpetual calm, but accept the fact that conflict can and will happen, any one instance of conflict immediately has less of an impact. Immediately. Yeah. It's an assumption. It's inherent. The avoidance of it is futile. It's part of the entire package. So keep in mind the fact, most of the time, any conflict that you possibly run into at work will blow over in a few days. Susie Welch, the wife of the GE chairman, Jack Welch, has three questions about decision-making. What are the consequences of my decision in 10 minutes, in 10 months, and in 10 years? And you could ask that same question of yourself and the conflicts you have at work. the answer for the vast majority of the time is going to be 10 months. Almost nothing will matter in 10 years. So get okay with it. It's all short term. It's all nature. It's natural. This is how humans engage with one another. We do it all the time. Don't avoid it.
And a good deal of the time, the conflict is covered by the previous section of murdering the unchosen alternative. The conflict is one person wants one decision, another person wants a different decision. The decision's made, we're going to do this. If we murder the unchosen alternative, the conflict goes away. Another good percentage is taken up by the fact that the other people in the team have different profiles to you and they didn't notice that they hurt your feelings. The D's and I's did not notice. A high D can write an email that says yes with no punctuation and mean nothing other than the answer yes. There is no tone. There's no emotion. There is no thought in their head other than the 1 second it took to answer the email in the affirmative and hit send. Like, they think about that email. They read the sentences that you've written. They think the answer to that is yes. They write the word yes and they hit send. And then they've forgotten that email.
That's exactly it. Folks, remember, high D's want nothing more than to save time. If the answer is yes, they just typed yes. Now, I know you high S's. When you write a statement, a question, you write an email and it's got something in it that you think might be perceived as a little bit sharp, a little bit ouchy, what you do is you end that sentence with a smiley face so that the person you sent it to knows. I mean, they couldn't possibly get this wrong. I was smiling while I was sending this. I know that sounds sharp and harsh, but that's not sharp and harsh. I'm smiling. See, I'm actually happy. High D's aren't going to give you those emotional indicators to help you see what they're thinking. They're just going to type yes.
Exactly. They are like monster trucks. They literally drive over speed bumps and don't notice them. And you can see the speed bump. In fact, the speed bump to you looks like a mountain and they're driving over them without noticing them. So a lot of the conflicts is another profile that literally hasn't noticed the conflict that you are seeing, that you're feeling or seeing or worried about. They haven't even noticed it. And a lot of the time, you know, if a high S comes to me and says, Wendy, when you send that email, it really hurt my feelings. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. I didn't think before I sent that question. And I can absolutely see how you read it that way. I'm so sorry. I will try and do better. Because I know all day long, I write things without thinking.
That's exactly it. And folks, the risk here is, going back to something we talked about earlier, speak up. The risk is another profile. Let's say high D, just simple for the analogy. A high D sends you an email that you read as one of anger, let's say. You get your feelings hurt about it, but as a high S, choose not to say anything about it. And then the D on this side has no idea. And because you haven't said anything about it, and because they don't feel conflict in this situation, they keep doing that thing and in turn keep hurting your feelings. And what happens over the course of time is fractured relationships between two people, where a fractured relationship doesn't need to exist because they never meant anything by it. But because you never spoke up, nothing changed. And it's just this cycle. It's just this evil cycle of two people that don't work together for no good reason at all. Because we could have perfectly changed it.
Yeah.
If someone spoke up and said something.
And the anticipation of having an email from that person when you're upset about it. Yeah. This is one really good use of ChatGPT. If you think someone sent you an angry email, copy it into ChatGPT and say, is this person angry?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
And he, because I think of him as a he is very good at saying, no, they're just being direct and no, they're not angry. So.
Wow. Oh, I like that. So that we just spoke to some conflicts that maybe aren't that big of a deal, generally, in the short term anyway. For the conflicts that really matter, you've got two choices. Either address it or forget it. Avoiding conflict is like punishing mistakes. Punishing mistakes doesn't stop mistakes from happening. Mistakes happen. It just causes people to hide better mistakes when they do happen. Avoiding conflict doesn't stop conflict from happening. It just buries the fact that conflict actually exists. and it causes this seething undercurrent, which is not helpful for the individuals or for the team as a whole. What's more, talking about whatever it is that's bothering you could lead to a fairer situation that benefits everyone even better. If the idea of confronting someone about a big conflict scares you, begin by addressing small issues in the short term to build up your stamina, mm-hmm. right? To flex the muscle of this standing up. Each time you resolve something small, you're going to be preparing yourself for the big one whenever that big one comes.
And alternatively, you can apologize and just let it go, or just let it go and decide to leave the situation behind. And there's one thing we can guarantee. Conflict is like buses. There'll be another one along in a minute, because two people on one continent causes conflict.
Yeah. It won't do anybody any good for you to kick yourself for not having said something when you knew you probably could or should said mm-hmm. something. Forgive yourself and do better next time. Are you in need of a little R&R this year? As a manager of other managers or an HR organizational leader, if your managerial complement focuses on the manager tools R&R, results and retention, you should be able to take your vacation this year with very little worry. With our organizational effective manager training, we teach managers how to build relationships and communicate with their directs in such a way that it drives improved results and promotes retention. Your managers also receive an annual license, which provides with supplemental support for a full year after training. To learn more, contact Maggie by emailing customerservice@manager-tools.com.
All right, so then I think this is the last bit of our guidance on this topic is take action. It is true that slow and steady wins the race, but eventually you have to make a decision and take action. No matter your job, there is some degree of autonomy required. There are some actions you have to do, some decisions you have to make alone. The more we're paid, the more of those actions and decisions there are going to be. And let's face it, the more complicated all of those decisions themselves will be as well.
And you have this job because somebody believes that you have the knowledge, the skills, the experience, the wisdom to make the right decision and take the right actions, even if you don't. When I was writing this, I was thinking about the checkout people at my local supermarket, because they don't have someone standing behind them to make sure that they're doing it right, right? Yeah. And they're scanning the stuff, and every now and again, they have to put the number in because it doesn't scan properly. And they could put any number in, but they don't. And they have to put the coupons in and they have to put the numbers in. And there's nobody standing behind them to do it. So even those people who you would think had a fairly uncomplex job, simple in that sense, they're making decisions on their own. And somebody believes that they have enough knowledge and skills and experience and wisdom to make the right decision and take the right actions. And this is not to say that the someone who made that decision to put you in that job doesn't believe you won't ever make a mistake.
Right.
Right? As I was writing this, then I thought about myself and I was thinking, God, whoever put me in this job, they must have believed it was okay to make mistakes.
Well, think about that person that's typing in your groceries. How many times have you looked at your grocery bill afterward and been like, oh, that's wrong? Like, I mean, it happens all the time.
I definitely didn't buy four melons.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely didn't.
Yeah. And we all get into situations where we think afterwards, there was a better way to do that.
Sure we do.
That didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to do. Okay? But on the whole, whoever put you in that position believes that the majority of the time, you are going to get it right. And so you have to, even if you can't trust yourself, trust them that they believe that on balance, you are going to get it right.
Mm-hmm, that's exactly it. You have been given the authority to take action on behalf of the organization. You don't need to ask for it before you actually use it. It's already been granted you. It's part of your decision. It's inherently part of the job. All you need to do is have faith in yourself and use it.
And if you need to, ask for help or support. You are not burdening others when you ask for the help you need. We work in teams for a reason.
Yeah, we do.
Because we can't do it all. And whilst the other profiles might not seem as willing to be helpful as your fellow high S's, they only give that impression. A high D, when they ask for help, they're thinking, I want to get help, but I want to get on my way to my next thing as fast as I can. So when they help you, they might seem brush or like they're trying to get rid of you, but they are fulfilling their own sort of, I want to get done as quickly as possible so I can get on to the next thing. High eyes aren't good with detail, and they might tell you, oh, I've got a friend that can help you. But that's what they expect when they ask for help from someone else. So they're not just brushing you off.
Yeah.
They're doing what they would expect if they asked for help. The high C's might not look up from their keyboard, but they wouldn't expect someone else to look up from their keyboard either. So even though they might not act the way you expect them to when you ask for help, they're still willing to help. And the answers you get from them, they might not be wrapped as beautifully as a gift from you would be, but they're just as effective. They're just as willingly given as they would be from you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So to wrap it all up, high S's, being a high S is not a strength or a weakness any more than being a high D or a high I or a high C is a strength or weakness. All that label means is that we have a set of natural behaviors that may or may not support our effectiveness in any given situation. We can change those behaviors anytime we like, since working in a team is what we all do every day, whether we want to or not. Learning to recognize the behaviors that work against us and mitigate them is a lesson well worth learning and a skill worth developing. After all, a high S just wants to get along with everyone else. And if this is what it takes, it's worth doing.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with guidance for the high C's. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.